Today we celebrate this great feast of all of the saints. And it is a feast that is one of great hope for all of us, because when we look at some of the heroic saints that we all know and celebrate every year, we might think that unless we are that extraordinary, that we wouldn't be able to go to heaven. Thankfully, that's not the case. That we have this feast of all of the saints, of all of those people who are in heaven whose names we do not know. We're very grateful, obviously, for the great saints whose names we do know, and they are phenomenal examples to us. But then there are those hidden saints. There are those saints who are our relatives, our friends. There are those who nobody knew. And because they didn't have anybody to bring forth their cause, they've never been canonized. And they don't care. All they care about is they're in heaven. Even the canonized saints don't care that they're canonized. But tonight we also invoke the help of all the saints, because we are here in a very particular way, not just to celebrate the Feast of All Saints, but to make reparation for the abominations that will be happening this very night. Those who worship Satan have a great feast this night. Remember that the Satanists follow the same sanctuary calendar as the Catholic Church. And so when we celebrate All Saints, they will celebrate everyone who's in hell. What a grand celebration, huh? How sad is that? But the travesty of this isn't simply the sickness of mind that these people have to do such a thing. It is the sickness of heart that in doing this, they want to inflict as much pain on our Lord as they can. They don't understand is that our Lord, because he is in heaven, and our Lord present in the Eucharist does not feel any pain. That doesn't, however, mean he's not offended. And so this night, if they have a priest who is so unfortunate that he will actually do a black mass for these unfortunate people, that's what they will do. If they don't have a priest who will do that, then they have to steal the Blessed Sacrament from a parish somewhere so that they will have the Eucharist to be able to desecrate. And when we're talking about people who are evil, the phrase that I always use is, the imagination is the limit. In other words, if they have the Blessed Sacrament, what are they going to do? Anything disgusting, despicable, and rotten that anyone's sick imagination can conjure up. They want to be able to show that Jesus is not God. They want to be able to show that Jesus is not all-powerful, because they believe this idiotic idea that Satan and Jesus are brothers, and they're in this battle with one another. And of course, you look around at the world today and what's going on, and it appears that evil is winning. And so they would say, you see, evil is stronger than good. And we can even prove it by doing these disgusting and despicable things to Jesus truly present in the Eucharist. And see, he doesn't rise up and kill us. He doesn't destroy us, because if Satan was able to be in something similar to the Eucharist and somebody tried to do something like that to him, well, he would rise up and he would destroy them. So you see, that's our proof that Satan is more powerful than Jesus. Obviously, their minds are pretty messed up. What they don't seem to acknowledge is that Jesus is God. But what they do acknowledge is that he is truly present in the Holy Eucharist, and they know that he is God. And the amazing thing about these unfortunate souls is that they do not doubt for one split second that the Eucharist really is Jesus. We have fewer than 25% of people who call themselves Catholic who believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. And yet we have 100% of people who call themselves Satanists who do believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. We've got a problem. The problem isn't the Satanists. I mean, they're a problem too. The problem is the Catholics. The problem is that we have caused so much difficulty to our own people that we don't even believe in the most fundamental of all of the things that the Church teaches. Because, again, remember, if Jesus isn't in the Eucharist, he's not God. If he's not in the Holy Eucharist, he's a liar, because he's the one who told us that he is. If he's not in the Holy Eucharist, we are committing sins against the first commandment. Because if he's not really present in the Eucharist, what you've been doing here for the last 2 hours is adoring a piece of bread and not adoring Jesus. Adoring a piece of bread would be idol worship because it's not God. You see, this doesn't have small implications, it has major ones. And the fact that most Catholics either don't know or don't care about what's happening tonight is because they don't believe in the real presence. If they really cared, they really believed, they would want to be doing reparation. And so on behalf, if I can sound so arrogant, on behalf of our Blessed Lord and our Blessed Lady, I thank you for being here to offer this time in reparation, to offer this Mass and to be united with Jesus in reparation for what these poor people are doing. And what we really need to do, beyond making reparation to our Blessed Lord, ask yourself, what would bring the greatest glory to Jesus? What, as we are celebrating all the saints in heaven, what will bring the greatest joy to all the saints? It would be the conversion of these people who are doing evil to the Lord. Why doesn't he rise up and strike them dead? Because in his mercy, he wants them converted. In his mercy, he wants their souls to be able to go to heaven. So if we're going to make reparation, we don't want to fall into some of their sins and try and take vengeance, but rather we need to do exactly what St. John told us to do. If we're children of God, we need to act as children of God. And we need to pray for these people that they will recognize what it is that they're doing. On one hand, they know fully well what they're doing, obviously, or they wouldn't be doing it. But if they would just have the openness of mind and heart to be able to recognize that, you know what, Satan cannot be present in the form of a piece of bread. Satan is a creature. Jesus is the Creator. Jesus is God. And therefore, I need to worship him. I need to get away from the worship of the vile creature, and I need to worship the Creator. That's what we desire for these people. Not that they would be crushed, but that they would be converted. And so our prayers here tonight can help bring that about. And so again, I thank you for your charity in being here, in praying and offering this time in reparation for what these people are doing. At the same time as we say that, we recognize that what is going on in this evil way tonight points out once again the very fact that we recognize that we are in a spiritual battle. The people who worship Satan recognize that. That's why they're doing what they're doing. Their whole focus is to serve their master. And they will do whatever the vile creature tells them to do. Now, Our Lady told us to do whatever her Son tells us to do. Now, these poor souls are willing to do anything that Satan tells them. How many of us are willing to do whatever God tells us? See, if we want one day to be able to be among all the saints in heaven, then we need to start to live it. We need to put this into practice. We need to be able to say, okay, yes, what we're doing here tonight is fantastic, but now I need to do this out there in my day-to-day life. I need to bring the Lord into the world through my actions, through my words. I need to be striving for union with Jesus through prayer, because that's how we're going to become saints. So we look at the gospel reading with all the different beatitudes and so on. And while we don't all have all of those things, it's to be able to look at the personality God gave to you. Again, don't judge yourself against the rest of the saints, because we're not like them. There are some that you will be like because you have a similar personality. And there are some that you won't be like. You might say, I wish I could be like that, but we can't. I mean, wouldn't it be nice to be a Thomas Aquinas and have that kind of an intellect? Well, unless you were born with it, you're not going to get it. No matter how much you try, it isn't going to happen. You can look at some of the examples that we have of the saints who did extraordinary things for the poor, and we find that we don't have quite those same circumstances in our day. Doesn't mean we don't have poor people, but we don't have the circumstances that they were living in. I had a priest friend over in India, and it was fascinating to listen to his stories, because he was assigned to some little town out in the middle of nowhere. And so he decided, as the parish priest in this little town that was literally cut off from everything, that he would rent a bulldozer and make a road. Now, if you and I decided to rent a bulldozer and make a road, we'd wind up in jail, because we're not in those circumstances. There were things that those saints of old could do that we can't because of our circumstances. So we can't just simply imitate some of what they did. But we need to become saints in our own circumstances. The saints became saints in their circumstances because they were willing to make whatever adjustments they had to make to deal with the situations that were there. We have to do the same. So while we might not be able to imitate them entirely, we certainly can have their same spirit. We certainly can do things that are very similar just in our own situation, in our own sphere of influence, whatever that may be. But it's also to listen, to go to prayer, to listen. Because sometimes what we want to do is something that's very good. But sometimes what we want to do is not what's the best. It's not what God wants us to do. The saints did what God wanted them to do. And that's something every one of us can imitate the saints in, striving to do the will of God. But when you look at the lives of the saints, what you're going to see over and over and over and over and over again is that God didn't make them saints in the way that they would have expected. He asked them to do something different. He changed their lives. He turned everything around. And it's not just once. Maybe we can all look back or we can read the lives of the saints and we can see that, yes, the saint had this amazing conversion and got his life together and whatever. But it wasn't a one-time only thing. It was getting that conversion and then having a continual conversion, turning more and more and more to the Lord, seeking always in everything to do the will of God. That's what made them saints. That's what's going to make us saints. Are we willing to do that? What if he asks you for something that's a little weird? Are you willing to do it? Read the prophet Jeremiah and ask yourself, point by point by point, what God asked Jeremiah to do, if you would do it. Because some of those things are really weird. God doesn't always just make it blatantly obvious. Would you be like Ezekiel and take your hand and dig a hole in the wall? That's a little weird, isn't it? Don't take a hammer, don't take a chisel. Use your hand and scratch at it until you can put a hole in the wall. What would we say? Oh, I got a better idea. We got power tools today, Lord. We can do it this way. It's not what he asked for. Are we willing to do what he is asking us to do? Don't try and tell him how you ought to be a saint. Ask him how you are going to become a saint. And I can guarantee you, it's not going to be the way you think. He's going to ask you to do things that are very difficult. You see, we want to be the saint in the areas that are easy for us. I'm really good at this and this, so that's what I'll do. Guess what? He's going to ask you to do these things over here that you're not good at. Because you're already good at these, you don't need any help growing in those virtues. You need help growing in these other virtues, and that's what he's going to ask you to do. So don't assume that we know how this is going to happen. Ask him. Go to prayer. Continue to go to prayer, because again, this isn't going to happen through one occasion of going to prayer and say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? This is a lifetime thing. Constantly coming to the Lord, constantly going to him in prayer, constantly going to the sacraments. But even there, it's an interesting talk. Kurt and I actually were out in Virginia over the weekend and had to give a talk. At this conference, there was a man who was giving a talk. He was talking about how he was on retreat. He's a layman. He was on retreat, and he said at one point he was just praying, and the Lord made clear to him. He said, you're too comfortable. He said, now mind you, I never missed Mass. I regularly went to confession, go to daily Mass if I could. I'd pray every day. But I was too comfortable. So even if we're doing all kinds of good things and we're serving the Lord, is he asking more? Is he asking something that might be very difficult? Is he saying that we're too comfortable? Yeah, we're doing good stuff, but maybe it's not much of a penance anymore. Maybe he's asking for more. So something again, bring it back to prayer and ask him. And then again, ask yourself, am I willing to do what he asks me to do? Whatever he asks you to do. If you want to be numbered among the saints, that's what it's all about. As I've told you many times, tell you again, where we're headed, this is not going to be fun. This is not going to be easy. The battle that we are actually dealing with tonight in a particular way is going to find its way onto the world stage, and it's going to be a fight against good and evil. It's going to be a fight against the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And every last one of us is going to have to make a choice. And it's either you do what Satan tells you to do, or you do what God tells you to do. And there isn't going to be an in-between. These unfortunate souls that we're praying for tonight, they are willing to do anything that that despicable creature tells them to do. Anything, including the most heinous, disgusting things that you can think of. They're willing to serve their master with their whole heart and soul and strength. If we had Catholic people who were willing to serve God half as faithfully as these unfortunate souls serve Satan, we would have converted the world years and years ago. But we've become too comfortable. We just want to go through the motions. We just want to do the minimum. We just want to get by. Jesus didn't do the minimum. He did the maximum. And when we look at the lives of the saints, none of them did the minimum. God is going to ask for heroic things from you and me. Are you willing to do it? Don't wait until we get there, because you're not going to say yes if that's the case. You need to start now. Make sure the prayer life is in good order. Make sure you're seeking the will of God. Make sure you're willing to do whatever it is that He asks you to do, and start working in that direction. Then when the day comes, when this all explodes, it's not going to be that difficult for you, because you're used to saying yes to God. You're used to acting as a child of God. You're used to being a saint. And that is what the world needs right now. So it's a wonderful thing to celebrate all the saints in heaven. What this unfortunate world needs desperately are saints on earth. And that is exactly what God is asking of you and me, to be able to be the people He's created us to be the children of God, to be the saints in our day and age, so that as we celebrate all the saints, we need their help, because we can't do this alone, but to be able to learn from them, to adjust ourselves to our present circumstances, and like them, to be able to bring the goodness, the love, the mercy of God into our present day, and to be saints in the midst of a world that has gone astray.